Welcome back to this episode of the Your Daily Pass podcast.
You're here with your co-hosts, Fiona Daly and Courtney Passfield.
We are bringing back another beautiful, raw and authentic, unedited conversation for you guys to listen to.
So enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Your Daily Pass podcast. My name is Nadine Zamot. I am a money coach. On today's episode, we will be talking about a taboo subject, but don't hang up just yet. We do not bring any blame or shame to today's episode. Today's episode is about money healing. So bring whatever money issues you have, any sticky issues, any overspending, avoidance, whatever it is, it's all welcome, and join us in today's episode.
Courtney, we're going to talk about some good stuff, although like kind of taboo, which is maybe why I'm a little bit excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everyone's too scared to talk about money.
Well, I mean, it is a little bit of a thing. And look, at the end of the day, like sometimes you wish you had more money. That conversation probably comes up fair a bit, you know, if I won the lotto. But then you never really want to talk about how much money you got because you don't want the judgment, or you can just sound like a bit of a dick talking about how much money you got. So, you know, there's that kind of a bit of a weird line when it comes to
like
talking about it.
There's almost like this tall poppy syndrome thing where we block ourselves. We're like, oh, I don't deserve, and things like that. So I think this is going to be very good for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, I can't wait to get into this conversation, but that is something that I really want to talk about, is that talking about the money blocks that we have as human beings, because there is just some people in life I find who are always like, oh, I've got no money, or I've got this, or like I don't have. And it's like, you keep telling yourself and you're never going to have it that.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Like,
it's like, sister girl.
Yeah, you're always finding the thing to spend it on, right? But without further ado, Fiona.
Yes, Nadine Zamot. Thank you so much for joining us. Another Aussie.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have you here, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, I am currently in a very, very cold Melbourne, Australia. I am Jordanian Australian American. So I've been around a few blocks, a few continents here and there throughout my life. And I have collected many money stories, many money patterns, and many money ideas from different cultures. I used to have lots of money baggage. So if anybody out there is kind of hesitant towards listening to this podcast episode because money is scary, don't be scary. You are not the only one with money baggage. We all come with money baggage, and it's not your fault. This podcast is not about shaming and blaming. This podcast is really about healing.
I love it. So let's kick off with, you know, one of the best questions I love, you know, to ask you guys, you know, as our beautiful guests, is how did you become you? You know, like, how did you get into this mode where you're like, I want to help people with this because this is a big passion of mine?
Well, it started off, I would say, so I had a soft launch about 15 years ago. So I was working at university here in Melbourne. And I think me and a bunch of my colleagues, we were making pretty much the same money. Actually, I was a level lower than them. So we all knew each other's pay rates, right? And we were all single, no kids, but somehow I was able to do more. And they were like, oh my God, Nadine, how are you able to afford to leave the country again? How are you afford to do this? How can you afford to do that? Like, how can you do all this? Do you have a trust fund? And the answer is no. It's just because I know how to manage my money. So it started off by I wanted to help people afford their dreams, right? So we always associated saving money with like a rainy day fund or like being responsible. But the edge I brought in at the time was that saving money is actually empowering. Saving money is a way for you to just really like fulfill your soul's desires and not just sit around and go, oh shit, you know, I just did this other thing that's not aligned with me. So my life's passing me by and I really want to do this. And I just wanted to help people see that it's possible for them too. So it started off by me helping people just organize their finances, cut out just expenses that no longer align. And I did that through helping people better understand themselves, better understand their souls, and better understand their values. So that was then. A few years later, I was in New Orleans and I had this massive soul awakening. Like, it just hit me like a thunderbolt. I refer to that as my spiritual awakening, really. And I don't know if either of you has had such a moment in life. It could be a moment literally, or it could have been triggered by a series of events in your life. But I would say you identify it like a moment where there is a before and after. Whatever happened before in your life just does not make sense anymore, and you're ready to take on a new route. So that happened to me back then. And at the time, as I was saying, like, nothing made sense. I lived an amazing social life. I had an amazing job, lived in an amazing apartment by the beach, but then just I came back home and I was like, oh my God, nothing makes sense anymore. So I had to revamp my life. And because I'm such a money nerd, as I was saying, like, I've traveled a lot and I have witnessed and viewed a lot of other cultures and how they view money and how they practice money and other people's money baggage. I was working in money, actually. I'm always money related. I started looking at my finances from a different perspective. I said, so how can I apply my new worldviews on my money? Lo and behold, I saved, oh my God, I saved, about like 40K in like 6 months without even a pay raise. I have no idea how I did it. Well, I kind of do. It was really getting really, really much closer to what I wanted, what my values were. And I created a system. So I started teaching that system. But later on, it was revealed to me through working with people and even through working with myself and getting more and more intimate with myself that a budget is simply a band-aid approach. What we actually need is healing our money wounds because they all stem from childhood. And when I say this, I do not refer to incidents or traumas that are directly linked with finances. What I'm talking about here is incidents that happened to us in childhood that are linked to survival, worthiness, and that are linked to being loved. And they translate very, very, very clearly on the way we handle our money in our adult lives. So if we were all to follow a budget, we will all have, you know, be wealthy or whatever the word that people want, right? Manifest abundance or whatever is prevalent these days in the personal development world. However, it goes way deeper than that. It goes way deeper than just a budget. It goes way deeper than affirmations and even money mindset work. What I have reached towards was that the money blocks that we have are actually an invitation to heal our childhood wounds.
Ooh, what?
Yes.
Oh, you just knocked me on my ass there. It's an invitation to heal the wound.
Yeah.
I'll write that down.
Oh, you literally just had me eating out of the palm of your hand. Oh, my God. You say that so beautifully. So beautifully.
But how much does that, it's like a do, isn't it? But it's not something that's ever pointed out to you.
No, it's not. Wow.
So how does one begin to heal one's wounds?
Yeah.
Well, it actually is it's very nuanced because a lot of our wounds are actually socially acceptable coping mechanisms, right? Mm-hmm. I would say anything that you feel stuck with when it comes to money, it often starts with, oh my God, I'm really shit with money. Oh, I need a budget. Cool. Go find a budget. Don't come to me, but I'm sure you'll go and find a million budget templates that you can download. Go do that. If that doesn't work for you, if you keep falling off the bandwagon, if you cannot stick with a budget, or if you find the budget too restrictive, that is an indication that there is some kind of wound that is underneath. Actually, if I were to coach myself 15 years ago, the last thing I would do is put me on a budget, because a budget Well, let me say this with a few caveats. A budget can re-traumatize you if you have certain wounds around constriction or restriction, certain wounds around worthiness, certain wounds around scarcity as well.
Ooh, that's very interesting, isn't it? Like, I'm just thinking
Courtney's
about,
face.
Yeah, Courtney. Sometimes I'm like, we should totally video all these because Courtney's face is pretty wicked in a lot of these conversations. But, you know, I'm just thinking about all the conversations I've had with people over the years, and it's like, oh, I need to do a budget. And then they do it really strict, and then after that they just burst down the budget, and it's like a flame of glory. But you can see why, though.
Of course.
A budget is legit just like a diet, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it is. It's exactly that. Exactly. Slap a budget on it. That's what I say. Just slap a budget on it. See how far you go.
And then Monday or on Friday night, you get on the drink or you get a bit pizza happy and that's what happens. You just blow out your budget / diet and then you'll start again on Monday.
Yeah, I'll be better tomorrow kind of thing. But what if we are going to heal as a collective, if we are going to start looking at how are we going to really help ourselves as the human race, help our earth, really our planet, is to start examining how we overconsume and why we overconsume and why is it okay to overconsume. And our overconsumption really is a socially acceptable way to kind of like put a Band-Aid on way deeper wounding that we all have.
So
I know.
Wait, you know what's popping in my head? I'm like, Courtney's a shopaholic. You should see this woman, how much stuff she buys.
No shame, no blame. Hey, this is not about shaming and blaming anyone, okay?
I mean, she could hire out dresses because they're all good stuff. But I'm like, I know.
And it's so funny. Like, it's legit one of those you're so right how socially acceptable it is now. You know what I mean?
Like, it's just hilarious. Everyone's like,
you know, it's like, oh, it's period week. So I went home and I ate ice cream and online shop for the last 3 hours. Everyone laughs because it's a funny joke. That's not acceptable.
It's actually, it could be the same wound that can cause more serious and socially unacceptable behaviors later on.
Hugely. You know? Hugely. Wow. It's where it starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
What? Holy.
Yeah.
Also,
I'm seeing so many links and I'm judging
how
myself.
How very uncomfortable to please examine don't. What you overconsume.
Oh, what you overconsume? Mate, I can't
imagine if you sat down and wrote, like, all right, what are we overconsuming? Just like, let's point out all the bad things here.
No, we're not. This is not about this. Mm-mm.
But very.
I'm going to be the adult here and say no. We're not going to sit here and point fingers at anyone, okay?
But how very uncomfortable to look at your own life and go, what am I overconsuming?
Well, it's not about that, actually. Maybe I misspoke. It's not about looking at what you overconsume. It is actually having that awareness and looking at that habit and pattern from the lens of non-judgment, from the lens of curiosity, instead of like, so let me poo-poo myself. Let me fragment myself even more. Let me put more parts of myself in the shadows instead of bringing everything welcome into the light.
Yeah. And out of curiosity, I think there'd be so many things that you're like, wow, I didn't actually realize I had, you know, 25 different subscriptions to all the streaming networks, but I do. And it's just because I want to keep up with, you know, what people are talking about, or I don't know, but it becomes quite an expensive little thing, I suppose. Yeah.
Let me mention other symptoms that are mostly prevalent, or what I see in society, what I see with my clients. So we talked about overconsumption, which with money can look like overspending, whether you're overspending shopping, overspending through buying drinks or buying food, dining out, treat yourself. That's a very big one. Another symptom is yo-yo budgeting, which we also kind of touched upon, which is I'm going on a budget. Okay, I blew the budget. Fuck the budget. Okay, I'm going to go on a budget tomorrow. That is what I call yo-yo budgeting. And another one is being super critical with yourself when you actually do spend. When you self-flagellate, when you're spending, that eventually will cause a binge and restrict cycle, which is not great. And another one that's not really spoken about is saving too much money. That is also a symptom of a money wound.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So we are talking about a very nuanced balance between saving, spending, but with the light and the energy of being aligned with who you are and what your values are.
This is so interesting. So when I was 19, I bought my first house. And the more I look at it now, it was out of trauma. I had to have a safe space, right? Like mm-hmm. I needed a safe house. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was one of those sort of situations. So I bought my own house, which was all good and well. But from the outside, it's like, oh, 19-year-old buying a house, look at her go. I mean, to me, it was a mind game, right? Like it was like, I need my own place. In that between now and, well, then and I'm now 30 and probably 2 years ago, my husband said to me, you know what, you know, like, do you really want that house still? Like maybe we should look at selling it. I didn't realize how much I was still like when he first mentioned it to me, I was like, oh no, oh, you no, no, no. And since
you
then
struggled,
it,
didn't
it,
you?
It showed up in me this, this fear base that I had around it. Since then I'm like, yeah, rightio, we should sell it. But you know, like it's one of those situations and I've had to work through it, but it was something that I had to work through. And so I think it's one of those things that, whether you can see it or not, but it is so there. Like it is so there for so many women, and you could have had so many different upbringings and it still be there.
Well, the one thing I see in common with the millionaires that come to see me and the people that have grown up in poverty is they have one thing in common. They're both cohorts are worried about money. They both have money wounds. I've had million people that have grown up in millionaire households that have lots of money wounds, and people that have grown up in poverty that have even less money wounds. It really is not does not depend on how resourced you are when it comes to finances. It really comes with like how you internalize the situation as a child. Yeah,
that is very interesting.
Yeah. That is very interesting.
You. I've been researching this for a while now.
This is totally your thing.
Yes.
Wow. It's just, it's incredible that, you know, you would think that, you know, someone who's a millionaire is not going to have, they're not going to have any kind of money trauma because you just assume that somebody's different to you. But that's incredible.
See, the thing is, the sense of visceral security and safety that we're all seeking, that does not come from money. It does not come from a job. It does not come from possessions. It comes from feeling safe and secure in your nervous system. It has nothing to do with the outside. It all has to do with within.
Ooh.
That's why. So when I have people that say, oh, if I just make X amount of money, I will feel more secure, I say, well, if you don't feel secure with how much you have now, or if you can't handle how much you have now, how do you think more is going to make you feel?
Oh, that is a wicked question.
So, okay, how does this work then? You know, like I come to you and I'm like, Nadine, got a bit going on. Like, clearly. you know, like.
Don't we all?
Like, yeah. But like. My mind is, I need dots. I need to connect the dots. So sure. I come to you and go, look.
Do you have a good magic wand?
Yes, actually, I do. I do. I have a quiz on my website and it's really magic.
Yeah.
It's magic because it helps you look at your behaviors from an archetypal perspective. So we all have these different parts to us, right? And when you do the money archetype quiz, I will be able to tell you through your results and through just my intuitive channel, just to tell you what is actually running the show, because it's not you know, the mature part of you, the emotionally mature 30, whatever year old part of you that's running the money show, obviously, mm-hmm. there is some other parts of you that is running the show, but from a, as a protective mechanism. So every single block that I mentioned earlier, I don't poo-poo these things because they are in your psyche, in your system, because they protected you from something a long time ago. They no longer are, therefore they're sabotaging right now. So when you do the money archetype quiz, you'll be able to see what is your money personality, and each personality kind of represents a way that you sabotage yourself. There are two of, well, there's eight, there are eight money archetypes. I did not invent them. These money archetypes are created by my mentor like 20 years ago or something. But you know, she trained me in using them. There is the innocent, the victim, the martyr, the fool, the warrior, the magician, the creator artist. And then, oh, I forgot one, creator artist, the tyrant. Yes. So these are the eight money archetypes. And it's not like, oh, you're the tyrant and not this. It really is a combination of eight of them. We have all eight of them, and it depends on your time of your life, what's happening in your life, your childhood circumstances. So it really is the dance between these eight archetypes. That's why when you get the quiz results, you're like, okay, well, I don't know what that means, but I'll be able to kind of connect the dots for you when you do a session later on after, like, you get the quiz results, because it really isn't like, oh my God, I'm a Virgo. It's not like that simple. It's just like, okay, you're 30% tyrant, but there's like 49% fool, which tells me that you have a binge and restrict cycle. But if you have that much percentage of magician, that tells me a completely different story. So it really is just like a chemical reaction of your different parts in interaction together.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
It is cool. It's really, really cool.
Really cool. Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, and very interesting for you. Every time one comes through, you must be just like,
oh, woo! I never get two people that are the same ever. And it's very interesting because it's accurate, right? Like, it's such a nice way to be acknowledged, because these blocks, we poo-poo them so much that they have a craving to be seen, right? So when we acknowledge them, when we acknowledge that, oh, you're not just, you know, someone that, like Courtney, you're not just someone that just goes on binge shopping, right? I acknowledge that you do, but I also help you acknowledge why you do it. So you bring that to the light, and that begins your healing journey.
Well, that's exactly right. You're here to help heal. You're not just like, oh, you're shit because you're exactly.
You're a shopaholic. Oh,
exactly. Exactly.
I would, yeah, no, that's not my style. And I'm very sad to see that there's a lot out there that is like that. Is not healing at all. And as I said, as a collective, we need healing. We don't need more restriction. We don't need more strategy. I mean, strategy is great, but when you top it on top of a foundation of like fracture and pain and childhood wounds, it won't work. It's like you're putting a roof over a house that's already sinking. It's not the roof that's wrong, it's the foundation that we need to deal with.
I think the other thing that I really want to bring up also is a lot of this can be generational too, this, like, oh, why do you do that? Oh, because my mum's mum has already done that.
Money doesn't grow on trees.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Exactly. So you'd see quite a bit of that.
Yeah, phrases that we grew up with. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, say again.
You'd see quite a bit of that then. You know?
I see that a lot with myself. So I grew up in the Middle East, and I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. And while I was growing up, there was like so much war around us, around Jordan, where I grew up. So we had lots of refugees coming in. We had, like, pretty much because of the Gulf War, like, we had a period, I don't know how long it lasted, but like only even numbered cars, like if you have a license plate that has even numbers, you're allowed on the streets Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the rest of the week you're only allowed to drive if you have an odd numbered license plate. It was crazy.
What?
Yeah, that was the style of scarcity that I grew up in. And then at 24, I moved to Australia, but I didn't know that I packed that with me. Like, I was living in scarcity, even though I was in Australia and then France and then America. You know, I just, brought that with me all the time. And then I realized, I was like, oh my God, shit. I'm living like my grandfather lived back in God knows when, the 70s. Why am I doing this to myself? It is generational.
Wow.
So when you think about how our parents survived, you know, our grandparents, especially in Europe, here in Australia, everything, they survived a lot. And our problem now in our generation, it's not scarcity. Our actual problem is excessive abundance. Mm-hmm. So we're carrying the wrong wound, pretty much. I'm not saying like wrong as in bad, but it is a misplaced wound. It is generational sometimes.
Oh, it is a misplaced wound that we do carry. Mm-hmm. I really like the way that you've put that because that is so true. Yeah. And I think what really resonates with me, Nadine, is like literally everything you're saying. You're like, this is in all areas of your life, you know, that we carry
all
these.
All areas, yeah.
But like, I don't know, we have opened that conversation to food and things like that, and we've opened to yo-yo diet. We've opened so many different doors, but the money one is just something that we really haven't, I suppose we're like, oh, look the other way in that direction, you know, that sure. hasn't come up quite as much.
Why is money so taboo to talk about?
I don't know.
Or do you feel like it is as such in other countries? Or is it more Australian?
So that's a very good question. So one thing I noticed is that in all the countries I've ever lived in, people are way more relaxed and open to talk about their orgasms, their sex lives, all of that. And then when it comes to money, they just clam up. And the reason, I really cannot tell you exactly what the reason is, but I think it's because it's so linked with shame and guilt. Right? So we've normalized talking about our vaginas and about sex and orgasms. Cool. But the whole thing with money, it's like it comes with so much baggage and shame. And it's so in the mainstream media, it's so binary. It's so like you're good with money versus you're bad with money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of that, you know, like, yes, no, you're either good or bad with it. It's there's no nuance in the middle. Therefore, we all have this shame around it because you're either good with it or you're bad with it.
Yeah.
However, it's really not the case. Because again, mainstream media, you're good with money. It means that you save a lot of money. It means that you can buy a house at 19. But you just mentioned that when you bought the house at 19, it came with a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was referring to, like socially acceptable or socially praised coping mechanisms. So your coping mechanism for whatever you went through was to buy a house, and that's how you coped. And because it's such a praised coping mechanism, you didn't lean in and heal or like see the wisdom behind this or what this coping mechanism was soothing you or protecting you from at the time, because everybody's like, you bought a house.
Exactly.
Great. But had you gone into alcoholism, for example, then people are like, okay, there's something there.
Yeah.
Right?
And
so that's why it's so shameful. It's like you're either good or bad.
Yes. That's exactly right. So,
wow. I think so, yeah.
How can we, you know, we've said that we want to look into ourselves without judgment, mm-hmm. right? So how mm-hmm. can we start to find what we align with?
Yeah.
To go, right, do you know what? That really doesn't work for me. Or is it something that, you know, when you, you know, you've had a bad week and you start online shopping, you know, is it something mm-hmm. that we get curious in those times? You know, we've talked about curiosity and looking and going, okay, well, what am I actually feeling and what does this actually going to do for me? Or, you know where I'm going with this, don't
How
you?
How do you start that?
Yeah, girl. Yeah.
So let me sink in because this is juicy. It's a very juicy question. Right. So, you know, when you're in the woods and you find a tiger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens to me quite regularly.
I know, right? Like this morning. Tiger this morning was like really scary. Yes. But, you know, like when you're walking, let's bring it closer to home. You're at the beach and somebody's drowning. You find yourself maybe you find yourself diving into the ocean with your clothes on and you rescued them and people are like, oh, you're so brave. And you're like, but I didn't even think about it. It was instinctual,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So there is when our instinct kicks in or when our survival or emotional brain kick in, we, it's because our system feels threatened somehow. Okay. So we go back to the tiger. You see a tiger, your system gets threatened. You instinctively want to run from it, fight it, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. What happens is that your connection to your logical brain, the neocortex kind of, you know, the frontal lobe kind of brain. I'm so scientific, but get what I mean. Yep. Like your connection to the critical thinking, the logical brain gets shut off.
Mm.
And that is actually good because you don't have time to think. You need all your calories, all your energy towards running.
Yes.
You need your emotional brain and you need your survival brain. So what do we do? That's the fight or flight that we all know about, right? There are two other mechanisms that can kick in, which are freeze and fawn.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we have an upbringing that somehow our survival felt threatened or some situations happened that threatened our sense of self. And then as adults, money comes to the picture. Our system is going to feel threatened as well, like you're in the woods, right? That's why sometimes when we feel uncomfortable, when we feel threatened, we have an impulse to spend or an impulse to hoard. And certain money behaviors are actually nervous system responses. Okay.
Of course.
You had a shit day at work.
Yeah.
You feel threatened. Your flight response kicks in because you want to avoid the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So you go internet shopping. This is really not a diagnosis because overspending can have many, many different core wounds, not just like, this is very, very generic. Okay.
Yes. Just
saying.
Yes.
Right. So when that happens, when you're in survival mode, when you're acting from survival emotional brain, you're shut off to logic.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is making sure that you regulate yourself before you expect yourself to start thinking logically and bringing in that curiosity. Okay. So depending on the response, you start understanding, you know, start raising awareness around what my nervous response is. Okay. Nervous system responses. So for example, for the sake of, you know, consistency, let's talk about that online shopping. Oh, what am I feeling right now? My body feels really like tense. Like I just want to do it. I just want to buy everything and put everything in my cart, for example. Mm. So you would identify this as a flight response. And then you ask your body, what do you need right now? Because sometimes what you really need is comfort. And that brings us down back to inner child healing, because it is that inner child that is actually seeking that comfort, that inner child that has that trauma that happened in childhood being relived, even in the safety of your living room as 20 years later. Mm. So that diving into your body and asking yourself, what is it that I need right now? Sometimes all you need is a hug or a cup of tea.
Wow.
But not poo-pooing yourself and understanding that I'm not bad with money. I just perhaps have some trauma. Perhaps I need a hug. Perhaps I need to go and sweat it out and punch the air or listen to metal or something,
yeah.
You know, like just dispel that energy.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I love to get curious about when I do things. Like I love to sort of like evaluate myself all the time and not in a judgmental way. You know, I mean, it used to be, don't get me wrong. It's come a long way with doing the work. And I do notice myself just like habitually say like the kids are driving mad and all those things, you know, like life's just topping up, you know, one of those afternoons where everyone's tired and it's just one big shit show. I do notice myself like, even though, like, say 5 minutes ago, like, I might not have been hungry, I'm like, oh, man, I'm so hungry. I'm just looking for something to eat. You know, like, I find myself, like, watching those little emotions and, you know, you're like, ooh, No, you're not actually. You weren't. You're just using. Yeah. Like, you're just reaching for that. I had that
this morning.
Yeah, yeah. You have those times, hey. And so it's exactly like
I was cold.
Yeah.
It was because I was cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Mm. So wow. Putting another jumper on wasn't the way, right? Like, you know, like it was.
No, I needed another pair of socks, not a bag of chips.
Yeah. But it's so true, you know, like it just really overlaps with so many different things. Just I think to it's show. Just
giving yourself the permission to actually be like, what is it that I need right now?
You're right. Sorry, because I just hit her. She's in the yes, for those who can't see
just, she just hit her sister in front of me saying, yeah, but you're right. You're yeah, right,
because Fiona. We don't.
It's yeah. that permission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't give ourselves permission to feel. That's why we're always rushing. That's why we're always in flight mode. We don't give ourselves permission to stop and feel and process our emotions and complete the trauma cycles, you know? Yes. Look at your dog when you walk your dog and it encounters another dog and they growl at each other. Next thing you know, she's shaking and it's done.
Yeah.
We don't shake. We don't finish these trauma cycles. They just stay in our bodies.
That is
next thing you know, true. A few hours later, you're like punching your husband or, you know, you know, and you're like, well, I don't know why. Actually, it's because 3 hours ago, someone cut you off in traffic and you didn't process that.
Yes. I think you're so right. Like, we have literally got to the stage where we're too busy being perfect that we don't actually feel any of the feelings. And so instead of even giving in to ourselves or just even sitting with ourselves without judgment, we're like, right, we got to fix it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to fix it with a bag of chips. Or I'm going to
fix it. Yeah, let's fix it.
Yeah.
I like that. Fix it with a bag of chips.
Well, yeah,
I mean.
What if, fix it. That's me. You know, honestly.
The Milo ice cream.
If as a collective, if we start replacing the word fix with heal, we would see a lot different results, I think.
Yes. Oh, because the fix really just is a band-aid, isn't it? Like, you're just fixing like that layer, whereas that heal fix it. Means
it's broken.
Yes. You know? Oh.
So, Nadine, how do we help? Mm. Because we got little kids here. Mm. How do we help our kids grow up? I mean, I feel like you're going to get a wound anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
But, like,
it's true.
We don't say in our house, money doesn't grow on trees. It was said once and we were like, boo, no. And then so now we're explaining money, but how do I get that healthy money story for my kids going?
So that's a very good question. And the thing is that it really is it's a balance between what the parents do, but also there is factors that are beyond your control because it's what the kid internalizes. So I can bring up an example from a client of mine. She grew up in the 70s and early 80s, and her and her siblings had a really nice budget every month. Her parents were very generous and they gave them like $20 a month each. Back in the 70s is a lot of money. To go to the toy store. And because her siblings always chose better toys than her, she always felt like she did bad choices. So she internalized this forever for like 30 years that she makes bad money choices.
Aww.
So it really isn't just the parents. It is also what you internalize as a child. And also there's other factors that are outside, like your neighbors or the rest of the family, what you get at school, what you get watching TV, movies. So honestly, I would say just have I'm not a parent myself, so that's why I feel awkward saying this, but like just have the best intentions in your heart, lead from the heart. Help them see that sometimes the heart is where we should live our lives. It's not all logical and brain. And encourage them to follow their dreams and encourage them to just drop into that intuition and help them not override their intuition. Mm. Help them see that their intuition is actually very important. And if they have random hobbies or random opinions about things, they're actually very smart. Listen to that and help them understand that they're valuable and whatever they say is valuable.
That's so good.
And I think leading on to that, sorry, Fiona, but I think leading on to that, it's even just being so okay with your own shit and being open with that and sort of also teaching that, you know, we all have our own demons that we work with,
yeah,
and showing that it's okay to have those because, you know, especially mm-hmm. in this day and age, we are, it's, that's growth too. And yeah, it's mummy's working yeah. through this, and then, you know, mummy wants to be able to get to this stage, you know, like, yeah. I suppose it's being vulnerable with them too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. My son's 7, he's almost 8, and so there's a lot of conversation about money right now. It's like, how much did that cost? How much did that cost?
Okay.
And we're always like, oh, mate, like, mm-hmm. don't stress about it. But he genuinely just is trying to get a grasp on life and how much things cost. And so, you okay. know, the thing that I wrote down before is saying, like, what do I need right now? And maybe that's, like, as a parent, when they see me scrolling and I'm, like,
mm-hmm.
looking up, God knows what. At the moment it's Christmas presents, you know. I'm scrolling through, having a look, getting an idea. And when they see me doing that, I nearly need to, like, verbalize, what do I need right now? Because it might be that yeah. it's, like, there's something else popping up for me, but what they're seeing,
yeah, that's a good
you know
one.
What I mean? Like, they're seeing me online mm-hmm. shop like a ninja, but it's just because I'm trying to be organized for Christmas. But maybe it is just verbalizing it, so they're like, oh, righto, I'm understanding what she's talking about.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, like, leaning in, getting curious about why your son wants to know what everything costs. Like, what does he want? Is he worried? Is he seeking security? Is he making sure everybody's safe?
I'm not sure. I'm curious. I'll go home and I'll suss him a little more. But the conversation at the moment is he saved up $39.
And oh, like, oh, bless. That's so
I'm
cute.
Like, yeah, I'm like, that's awesome, mate. Like, because for him, he'd be like, do you know what? I just love you so much and I want you to be happy. So here's a dollar. And I'm like, that's really kind, mate. You keep your money for you. Like, you don't need to give me money to make me happy. You make me happy. And so this $39, he says to me the other day, do you reckon I could buy a car? Because it would be cool to have sure. a car. And I'm like, you'll probably get, like, so he's like, I want a real car. And I was like, yeah, nah, Rob's not going to make that, mate. And then he goes, what about a cool remote control car? And I was like, you might get a little one, but there's not a story coming behind that. I think he's just like, I've got money and I'm going to buy things.
Yeah, of course, you know, so just getting curious and asking questions without panicking and helping them get curious as well, and also accepting them without being perfect.
Yes.
Right? We're talking about the culture of fixing, but also we don't want to fix or make people feel less than because they're not fixed or perfect, right? So
yes,
just that acceptance that we did not really grow up with, because a lot of the times I have people that are like, oh, I feel really bad about being in this program because my parents did their best. Like, I know they did their best.
Yeah.
But sometimes in their doing their best, you became somebody, like, you became overlooked. You were overlooked. You know, a lot of my clients, their parents did their best to a point where they were too busy to take care of them. And as an older sibling, you became a parentified. So you learn to put other people's needs before yours from a very young age.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Does not say anything about your parents. It just talks, it just, you know, goes to say about how you internalize situations.
Yes. And I think what's really interesting, Nadine, is that you have said it, and I want to go over it again, but, you know, we could teach them or say something 45,000 times per day for the next 10 years, but how they internalize it could be completely different.
Absolutely.
And it just shows, be, you know, yeah. the two of us from the same household, we view life so differently.
Mm.
And so true. that does just happen. And mm-hmm. so it's also one of those things that whatever has happened to you, it is also your responsibility how you work from there with it too.
That's the word, responsibility. Taking agency of what happened and healing that and not using it as leverage or using it as an excuse.
Yes.
But when you do use it as an excuse, that also indicates more wounding, because sometimes when you're stuck in a pattern, it could be, let's just say, it could be it frees response of your nervous system.
That's really interesting. I feel like, Nadine, when people are working with you, this is not like a one session thing.
No. I work with people for months. Y'all gonna know each
other for a long time.
Yes. And it's not because it's not effective, straight away. It's just because certain wounds need to feel like you need to feel viscerally safe before certain core wounds come out of the shadows.
Yes.
I'll bring myself as an example. Like I hold space for people and I coach people all day long, but from certain wounds that I have from childhood, I needed to be given a safe space through my coach, and I needed to be with her for like a year before a certain wound came out. And when it did, everything changed in my life.
Wow.
And it's new level, new devil, right? And so, at the start, you're sort of just start to peel back, but it all just does take time, and it doesn't all happen. You know, you're not cutting the onion in half. Like you're peeling back each moment.
Yeah, slowly.
And having to relive a lot of those moments too to be able to work through them too. So you have to give that space and that love and that time as well.
Safety as well. Yeah. Because the core of the onion is not going to come out unless you viscerally feel safe. And it doesn't necessarily need to be with, somebody with a bunch of letters after their name. It's just, it really is about that visceral safety that you feel. Like, I've gone to therapy, but I'm not poo-pooing therapy. I've had really good therapists, but it's the coaching. I'm really about coaching. I love, love, love coaching because it gives you the tools to do that for yourself later on as well, because you're not just like talking. The way I do it is really, it goes way deeper than just talk therapy. It goes way deeper than that. The logical brain, it goes into memories that are stored or
within the body.
Whatever. Yeah, within your body, not just your brain, just like in your nervous system, in your tissues, really. So
Yeah. And I mean, it has to be when we start to talk about generational. Because that's so deep within us that
Tell you what, my mind's blown over here.
Yeah. I've really never thought about money in that way before. And, it is one of those things for me personally, I would, quote unquote, go, oh, I'm good with money, And so I suppose when you are, you don't really think you have to look into it. But it is also baggage that you're carrying around. And as we know, with any of our traumas or anything we work through, mentally, physical, all those sort of things, when we put down those bags, we feel lighter and it's just this relief on our body, isn't it?
Yeah, and we open ourselves to creativity. We open ourselves to our intuition and our life purpose as well.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. That is really beautiful, Nadine. I love the way you speak about it, and I love the way you have taken something that, to be honest, I suppose one of the reasons why it is a bit taboo is because it's kind of superficial too, right? And so you kind of can have those little thought patterns pop up. So you've taken something and made it a real loving thing.
Yeah.
That's very comfortable.
Yeah.
To talk about with you.
Yeah.
It is, you're right. It's such a polarizing taboo topic. Like, that's going back to why don't people talk about money? It's polarizing. We get these contradictory messages of like, money doesn't grow on trees. You need money to survive though. But if you want too much of it, it means you're materialistic. Oh, you call yourself spiritual and you meditate and then you want to be a millionaire. Like, oh my God. It's like, yes, no, I don't, okay. Head in the sand.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. It's like you can, if you're going to be this person, you have to be just that person.
The binary thinking that I was talking about when it comes to money. It's like, you're this or that. You're good or bad. You're spiritual or materialistic. You're a millionaire or a dickhead.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they are your options and you better pick one.
Yep. And don't try and get a little bit of other things.
Yeah.
Exactly. Otherwise, like, you go into that gray area and people don't understand you, and they're like, oh, who's this person? Thing is, right, like, it's 2022 or whenever this episode comes out, it could be 2023. The thing is, like, if you want to really, like, step into your life purpose and really be an impactful member of your community, whether it's your family, whether it's your actual community, whether it's your online community, whatever, you actually need money. Sorry. You know, so they go hand in hand. That's why money and life purpose for me, from my perspective, they go hand in hand. Because a lot of times I see our money wounds cock blocking us from just going forward and living on purpose and just fulfilling our values and fulfilling our soul's desires. Mm. It makes us small if we don't heal it.
That is so true.
Well, I was going to ask you your words of wisdom. I'm feeling like that's very words of wisdom-y, but so is this whole episode.
It is. It is. Oh, my God. I mean, wow.
Nadine, do you have any more words of wisdom? Courtney's like over here, like,
trying to pick my jaw up off the floor.
She's
going to
get carpet burn on her jaw in a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you two are funny. She's got carpet burns on her jaw. Okay, well, I think that's words of wisdom. Turn that into lyrics.
I bought you that on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
All right, words of wisdom. Let's see. Okay, so your discomfort with money could be an invitation to heal.
Yes. That is amazing. That should be on a T-shirt.
That should be on a T-shirt. Yeah.
And don't feel like you should be either spiritual or materialistic, or, you know, like, don't shame yourself if you are someone that is craving that money, and ask yourself, why is it? Because you want to expand your impact, because, like, we were just saying, it is 2022 and we need money to not just survive, but we need money to thrive and help people and elevate the people around us in our community too. So healing your money wounds is not just about you, it is about elevating your community and elevating your people.
Yes.
And I totally think, have you ever seen that photo? It was floating around on Facebook, and it's like of all these matchsticks lined up in a row, and where they've burnt them and then they've just moved one, and it's like something
and
about.
And it stopped there. I shared that.
Yeah, and it's sort of very much saying, like, this is a generational thing too, right? So what we work on here, or stepping away, or the work we do now, this doesn't just help us, but this helps our next generation. This helps our in four generations' time, however you want to see it. That's what it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to a client of mine yesterday, and she doesn't want to have children. And she goes, oh, you know, I'm healing all this trauma, but it's a shame the lineage stops with me. And I'm like, actually, no, because even if you don't want to have children, you're still elevating your community, and they're elevating their children. And you are breaking generational patterns. So it's not just about having actual blood children. It's about, you know, your own community.
Yeah, it's about the ripple
and
effect.
The collective. Yeah,
I love that. Elevating your community. I'm writing that down.
They're the words of wisdom that you're really taking away, aren't you?
Oh, I'm just pretty stoked about it. Actually, it's really good. Nadine, like, we're all in a non-stalkery way. How does one find you?
Yes, one will definitely want to find you.
Well, my website is called saveamillioncents.com. And my Instagram handle is my full name, Nadine Zumot, NadineZumot.
Mm-hmm. And that is where we can find you. And as always, we will pop everything in the show notes.
I do hang out on Instagram quite a bit. So,
nice.
Oh, and do the money archetype quiz on my website. Yeah. That will help kickstart you on your money healing journey if that's something you feel called to do.
Yeah.
Love it.
I feel like that is just like an all round, everyone should do that.
Do the quiz.
Even if you don't think you have any money problems, this is like, just check it out.
Do the quiz. Yeah.
Yeah, just check it out.
And if you, you know, need help deciphering the quiz results, just
contact
book you. A session with me, and I will give you a 45-minute reading that will just change your life.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll bet it will. I mean, we've had 45 minutes and our lives has changed.
Exactly. Well and truly.
Thank you.
Nadine, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your love and passion and that, what was it? Elevating your community, because we love that. That is awesome. Aww. We got a lot of time for that.
Thank you, ladies, for having me and for having such beautiful, deep conversations that elevate your communities as well. So yes. Yay us.
Wow, look at us go. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, wasn't that an epic episode? I love these conversations with. They just make my day, my week, my all the things.
Yeah, Fiona, you're right. It's one of those things that we always feel that what is said is what is needed to be said. So I really truly hope that you guys have gotten something as we have out of this episode.
And let us know. Get in contact with us. Please. We would love to chat to you.
Yes.
Shoot us a message on our Insta or our Facebook and definitely leave us a review.
Definitely. And guys, look, how you share the love is by actually sharing the love. So make sure you share it with your friends. Let people know, because that's what keeps us doing what we're doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.